Welcome to episode 8 of the Norton Hales Cricket Club podcast. This is just an introduction to show that we have split all future episodes into separate parts to spread over different parts of the week. Today we interview Jack Furnival, new club captain and self-proclaimed Prince of Norton. I hope you enjoy. Stay tuned for all three parts.
This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast.
Good evening and welcome to episode 8 of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast. This evening I am joined by Captain Marvel himself, the return of the Prince, Mr. Jack Furnival. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening, Simon.
Thanks for joining me. I know I tried to get you on before Christmas, but you were a little bit too busy. We won't ruin your street cred by saying that you are easily led by the finer half of your life. Let's talk about, we'll get straight into it before we go into back in time. We'll talk about 2019 season now. Thoughts, hopes, aspirations? I know there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes. What are your viewpoints and where are you sort of hoping to lead the Tractor Boys over the next sort of 28 weeks or so?
Yeah, well, I'm very excited for this season. We've made a couple of signings, which is a good start. And we've got a signing of a South African lad, Hendrik Cook, which will strengthen our bowling attack as well as our batting attack. I think we're looking at a hell of a lot stronger team this year than we were last year and say two seasons ago. So I'm looking forward to it, really. It's a new challenge for myself as well. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, good. I think it's good to have the season fast approaching. Obviously, there's been quite a lot of negative stuff around the league over the off season. But I know my first season on the committee, just seeing a little bit more of how the back room of the club goes and seeing a bit more of the heartbeat. And it's quite an infectious club to be part of at the moment, especially seeing the stuff going on off the scenes, the different events and sort of sponsors and different things like that. So yeah, it's definitely good. I mean, obviously, you took over the reins towards the back end of last season after Mike and Slap had sort of handed them over. Close season, what was the main thing or the main motivation for sort of sticking your hand up? Because it's never an easy thing taking on the club captaincy, never mind a team captaincy. What was the sort of the thought process?
It was more the thought that Norton has been my club since I was a little boy, really. And it was more kind of looking at the players and thinking, who is there really that wants to put their hand up? And so I kind of waited out a little bit to see if anyone would put their hand up. And then I kind of thought to myself, well, I might as well, while I've got the likes of the Dyers, you lot, and the more experienced lads in the group, I might as well put my hand up and go for it whilst I'm at a young age as I am now, and get the experience from you older lads, and do that and catching a team that I've grown up in the vicinity with. So
no, good, fair play to you. Like I say, it's not an easy thing, especially obviously with all the rules and regulations that come with being part of an ECB affiliated league, and essentially being the ECB's most highest ranked club in North Shropshire. It's kind of a big task to take on board, so fair play to you, and I know I'm looking forward to taking on the next sort of season, really. So we called today's podcast Return of the Prince, and I know jokingly sort of on and off the field, more so when you've had a few sherbets than not, you are the self-proclaimed Prince of Norton. So obviously, you're the return. You obviously grown up at Norton at the club. When I first joined the club, you were sort of away at school, college, at Whitchurch, and various different things. So where did your journey at Norton start, and how have you sort of talk us through the story from the day you first played your first game through to sort of, I suppose, the first game where we host All Sager at home this season? How have we gone from point A to point B?
My first memory was coaching at Norton was Paul Evans. People know him as Jester. He was my first ever coach. And I would have been about, 5 or 6, something like that. And we used to get, there used to be 20, 30 kids on a Friday night, and it was just Jester helped out with Rob Warrington a little bit. And from that, really, I kind of started playing under 13s, I think it was, at the age of 8, 9, and kind of progressed through that. All the way through the age groups, under 17s, captained them to 2 cup wins and a league win. And then I kind of lost the contact of all the young lads after the under 17s, really. And obviously, like you said, went to school and got off, well, played a bit more county cricket and got offered to go play at different clubs. So experimented with that at Wellington and Whitchurch when Norton was struggling a little bit more, which I don't regret in a way, but in some ways I do regret it. I should have stayed on and helped Norton a bit more, but and then from that, really, just left school, finished the county setup, and came back to the home team at Bearstone Road.
You mentioned county, and I know I've ribbed you more than enough on this, but talk us through your sort of your county experience, and I suppose what that taught you, really. What have you taken from that sort of exposure to, I suppose, a higher standard of cricket, higher expectations?
Well, yeah, hell of a lot, really. Well, started county at the age of 11 at Shropshire. Was there all the way through the junior setup, and it was more, as a young lad, I was full of energy. That was my problem. I just wanted to play sport 24/7, and as I've got older, beers got involved and whatever, it's gone downhill. But yeah, as a youngster, it was cricket mad. So Peter Dawson, if I don't know if you would have heard of him, but he was he was a legend of the Shropshire cricket. God bless him now. He was kind of my main mentor as a young lad, from the age of 12 to 15, 16. And just it was, county setup more kind of showed me, not in terms of the way cricket was played, but more the different people you play with was kind of the big thing for me. And playing in different counties and learning from other people, learning different batting techniques and bowling techniques and different conditions and different facing different people and all this. And it kind of, it was something that I like to take back to your Norton under 17s and your under 15s and almost be a role model for the lads in that age group as well. So it was, yeah, it was good.
No, cool, good, fair play. You know, again, likened to me, really, I think I definitely drew from playing, you know, staff setups all the way from under 13s all the way through to sort of getting to the national cap under 19s. And it is one of those things you do definitely take on that experience. And even to this day, I still remember like the likes of Alan Hill, Mick Womble, people like the little messages they send. You don't always put them into practice, but when you're struggling or when you're just trying to reassess situations, it's those lifelong lessons that you get taught, really, and you want to try and pass those on. And you know, I know the game's changed a hell of a lot, but you know, the age-old adage of, you know, you've got to play the ball rather than the man and all that sort of stuff is very, 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 very poignant, really. So okay, yeah. Cool, so you touched on the junior setup there. Obviously, we had sort of 20, 30 kids down at the club at that time. So you're what, 20, 21 in a couple of weeks?
21 in March, yeah.
So 21 in March. So we're only talking 3-4 years ago. In your sort of ilk, obviously the club are doing massive strides off the field behind the scenes, trying to build the academy and get that back to sort of what it once was. What what are your fond memories? Obviously, we've already said Jester and Rob Warrington were sort of like the main mentors there. What would you like to see at the club from a junior point of view that made it so amazing for you, really, back, what, sort of 7, 8, 9 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see... Well, I know we've started the junior... Well, we're trying to push these juniors on a lot this year and last year. But like I said, I remember there was a Friday night turning up and probably 30 plus kids would be there with just Jester and Rob would be there, and then it would be waking up on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock going to play under 13s and then under 15s in the week on a Wednesday night. It was just non-stop, and that's what I kind of like to see at Norton. I'd like to see maybe 2 or 3 teams in the week playing, or like these bigger clubs, like your Wars and the other clubs around the area. They've got these 3 or 4 different teams playing different nights of the week. That's what I kind of like to see, and I think it grows more the village atmosphere. If say there's a game on a Wednesday night down at the club, then all the first teamers or second teamers turn up and watch the game. And I think that's how it used to be. There was more of a community kind of build from that. Mm-hmm. And we've sort of lost it in the past couple of years, obviously just losing local lads, and that's about it really. But that's how things go in such a small area.
Yeah, no, it you're quite right. You know, the community and the club really has a responsibility to the community to ensure that we're sort of putting that point across, really. And you know, yeah. Ballers and Liner and obviously Roller T off the back of the field are putting a lot of hours in to sort of try and recreate that, really. And yeah. You know, I've played a lot of cricket a lot of places, and I generally, hand on heart, can't think of many better places to be on a nice sunny evening, sort of. It's definitely a nice place. The bar's obviously a lovely place, but at the same time, we need to create that atmosphere that wants to welcome families and the kids sort of moving forward, really. Okay, moving on then, obviously, into I suppose we could look at last year. If you were being honest in your own assessment, obviously you were part of the management team last year. What was your sort of total assessment of the 2018 campaign? I know my own I think we massively flattered to deceive. You know, we got a lot of match winners, but just didn't seem to sort of fire on all cylinders last year. What's your own assessment?
Well, I think most people can kind of guess by looking at score sheets last year that batting on days was our strong point. We'd get 200 and odd for 6 or 7. And then most weeks we'd be skittle out for 150 odd. We were very fortunate in having Kashif and when the bowling attack to back it up most weeks. But with that this year, that I think the league's going to be a hell of a lot stronger than it was last year. So we probably won't get away with it as much. But I think more, like you said, there was more relied on individuals rather than a team last year, and I think. The year before, when we came third in that league, I think we were more as a team then. I think we had more individuals that made the team, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas last year we were one lad would score 70 or 100 one week and that would be it, and we'd rely on Kashif to take 7 or 8 wickets. Whereas this year I can see it a bit more. We've got 2 new batsmen. Essentially, well, 3 new batsmen, so you see a few more figures coming out from them, and it kind of takes the pressure off the bowlers in a way. So I think, hopefully, touch wood, we're going to be in a best stable place this year.
No, good, mate. I echo that as well. And I think, I mean, off the top of the head, I know obviously forecasts aren't great to see. Obviously, you mentioned you think the league is going to be a much stronger division. Obviously, having looked around at the early predictions and transfers that the Sentinel have published and different things we've heard on the grapevine, where do you think the sort of main challenges and sort of people to look out for are?
Well, we've heard of Endon, haven't we? We made a couple of transfers where they were strong when we played them a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be the ones, but then like you're all any team really in this league. All Sage of War, always a big team to go to. Anyone really? It's going to be a tough league. It's not, there's going to be three or four teams that are going to be challenging for the top of the table. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's going to be one outstander. I think it'll be a tight league this year.
Yeah, good.
Which will make it a bit more interesting.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Obviously, you know, we mentioned it two or three times in the podcast. Bagnall pretty much ran away with the league, and you know, having beaten them on the opening day of the season, you know, I don't think anybody would sort of. I think we'd have probably been a bit closer if we'd have sort of shown that same fight and spirit that we showed on the first day. But I think it's just one of those things. I think this year, one of the biggest things is just looking at the number of people dropping down again from the upper leagues to come and play in Division 2. And it's going to be very attritional. And it's going to be a long, competitive sort-out season. I know I, for one, am definitely sort of looking forward to it and then sort of moving forward, really. So yeah, I definitely think. Right, that's the end of part one. We'll be back tomorrow with part two. So stay tuned and we will be back